This show comes to you from the Art of Change Skills for Life. Visit www.artofchange.com to explore how you might grow your communication and leadership skills through workshops, coaching, and more. Plus, you get to work with me. My guest today works as a culinary consultant, helping companies innovate and create delicious, new, and interesting food. He also co-hosts a podcast with his wife called Mikey and Rin Stay In. It's a super fun, funny look at their fertility journey. He's an egomaniac who wants his own TV show. Who doesn't? My guest is Mikey Sheether. I'm Ada Nipom, and this is the Changed Podcast. Welcome to the show, Mikey.
Thanks for having me.
I think I should tell people how we met.
Please.
I was doing a consulting gig with a group at Nike that involved a cookie making contest, which will probably raise questions for people. I don't really need to go into great detail other than you were the culinary judge. Like, we had a style judge, a culinary yes. judge, and I was just there. But you yeah. were the culinary judge. You were the expert on food.
I was. I got to eat all the cookies and judge them with my supreme abilities for cookie tasting. And I can't remember who won, but they were very pretty from what I remember. There was a lot of swooshes.
Yeah, the cookies themselves were spectacular.
Very.
In my book, everyone was a winner, but that wasn't the, you know, there was an actual winner. I don't remember who got it either. I guarantee you they do.
We don't live in a participation trophy world anymore. We got to declare winners and losers, especially when it comes to cookies. Yeah, it was in a cookie competition, everybody wins.
Yeah, because everybody took home boxes of amazing macaroons.
Sure. It's like, yeah, did you? Oh, right. They were macarons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you did a competition where you end up getting to eat and get a little bit fatter afterwards, you win.
Yeah.
That's
agreed.
Your trophy. You're 100%. Your own trophy.
Your belly is your trophy.
Yeah. You can have as big of a trophy as you want. Keep growing it.
I love that.
We've all got our COVID trophies.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all winning. So you are a culinary expert. Tell me a little bit about that. What does it mean to be a culinary consultant?
Totally. So for the last 10 years or so, I've been working with small, medium, and large size companies to help them basically just come up with new innovative ideas for either completely new product lines or like expansions or extensions on what they already do. So I've worked with, maybe my NDA still covers it. I don't know. But I've worked with a lot of companies, large companies that do like fast food stuff. But I've also worked, mostly what I do is I work with companies that are healthy companies and have either they've just gotten a big investment or they've just been bought, and I help them kind of stay organic, all natural. And then I help them kind of stay ahead of the curve as far as like food trends. So it's really fun. Like at the end of the day, I just get paid to eat and like come up with like the biggest Dr. Seussy crazy ideas for things. And it's not my fault if they don't work.
food trends?
Yeah.
Like fashion trends, but food?
Oh yeah. Totally. I mean, food trends, obviously, like, I mean, what are some of like cronuts and, you know, there's all sorts of, like avocado toast and things like that, you know, that make it to kind of like the mainstream. But a lot of food trends kind of are like quiet, you know, and people don't even realize that they're really happening. So there's like, obviously plant-based, paleo, keto, those are kind of the big things that we're focusing a lot on lately. And then during COVID, I must admit, a lot of companies are coming and they're like, hey, listen, people are kind of in two camps. They're either like, I want to get healthier during COVID, or I want to feel like warm and comforted by my food. So it's like, we're making right. like cheese stuffed, you know, meatballs on this side of things. And then we're making like, you know, the paleo lose weight drink on this side. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. People really are falling into those two camps. I have a good friend from high school who at the very beginning of this, she was like, it's the end of the world. I'm going full Sarah Connor. And she has.
Awesome.
Yeah. She has held to that. She looks amazing.
Good for her. That's impressive. My wife kind of did that. I kind of
full
went
Sarah Connor.
Like, yeah. I was like, I'm going full Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Ooh, that's, that. That's shamey. I'm sorry. I'm going full someone who I'm just going full happy time. So I was like, and it depends on the day. I'm like, one day I'll go for a run and like drink my green drink and like literally lose weight that day. The next day I order two pizzas and drink a beer of 10.
Yeah, I fall into that middle camp of like, I'm trying to do both. Why isn't either one sticking?
Yeah, they do pull at each other.
They do. They do. Their life is a balance.
Sibling rivalry.
So you're not allowed to tell us who your clients are because of NDAs. That makes sense.
I don't know. Sometimes I can, I guess. I've done work with a lot of cool companies that you would totally know. And then a lot of fun, like kind of emerging companies, which is my favorite category, is like young companies that are just getting started and everybody's pumped about everything. So love that.
That's awesome. Can you tell us what was one innovative food idea that you came up with that did not make it to mainstream?
Oh gosh, good question. I mean, there's so many. To tell you the truth, a lot of the things that I kind of am like, that I love the most are like, that didn't actually end up making it. Because food-wise, you can kind of like, they can find a way to make most foods happen, right? Mm-hmm. But packaging is where I think a lot of the really cool innovation happens, but oftentimes gets caught up in cost and things like that. So I'm trying to think, there was a food delivery fix that we were going for that was basically like a, it was like a new age pizza box. And the idea of it was that the pizza wouldn't be soggy by the time it got to you. And it was kind of, you know, it was radiating the heat inside. And then there was basically like a little kind of a trap door on one side. Instead of opening the lid and then closing the lid, there was like a sliced door that you would kind of grab the pizza out of.
Like a little portable like pizza oven.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so that one didn't, I think it was just totally cost inefficient. This is the thing that I've been the most interested in about COVID is like, what are going to be, because everybody's getting food delivered, what are going to be the like crazy innovations around food delivery and, you know, and keeping food fresh and all those things. And I haven't seen as many cool innovations as I want to, but I'm hard at work in that world. So
right on.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Cause yeah, we order the takeout, and so far the biggest innovations that I've seen, and I'm going to say innovation is a loose label, sure, is putting a taco salad in a styrofoam container that doesn't fit. So can't get soggy because it's open, basically.
I like that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. They're just like, it goes in here now.
What? Yeah. It's on this little pedestal, not being protected at all, but it'll be
great. They're kind of like, cut a hole a little bit out of the taco shell, cut a hole through the roof maybe because it's like on there.
Perfect.
But you can't, yeah. It's
These not. Are my favorite things, like on Reddit, is like the someone who like duct taped a home air conditioner into the back window of their car or things like that. Like, we're going to make it work. I love people's determination.
That's the American way. That's the American way.
There's eagles flying over me right now as I'm saluting the flag.
Duct tape. That was my eagle impression.
That was pretty good. I like animal impressions. Can we do that for the rest of the show?
We could. We totally, yeah, we can.
Okay.
So we'll just scrap the plans to tell a story and talk about change. And
we can tell the story through the language of the animal kingdom. Oh, that's good. What do I have? My seal.
I'm leaving this in. In food-related news, I wanted to tell you I bought a coffee grinder and it has changed my coffee experience.
Can I tell you a fun coffee story?
Yeah.
This is my first year of my 40 years on this planet that I've drank coffee.
What?
Yeah, I started drinking coffee January 1st.
What? Why? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was failing at life before that. I had
No. It's totally fine to not drink coffee. I'm stunned by the, like, it's January 1st. My new resolution is I'm going to start a habit other people quit.
Right. And I didn't quit any of my other habits. So I just added a habit to my artillery. Nice. Yeah, it was, I mean, I'd had probably 3 cups of coffee in my life before this. And like one of them was like a bottled Starbucks Frappuccino, which is
sugar.
So sugary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious, but not really coffee. The other one was like a Cuban coffee, like a cafe au lait Cuban style. Whoa,
which I was
like stressed out.
Yeah,
my like elbows were sweating. Like I was having moments, heart palpitations, like I'm gonna die. And then, you know, and I don't even, the other one was probably like drip coffee at like a conference or something. So I was just like unimpressed. But my wife, I make her coffee every morning and I love the smell of it and the process, but it has changed my life. I love it.
It's amazing. That is a fun story.
Now I drink more coffee than she does. So,
all right. So we're already in the realm of change now because you changed something in your life January 1st by starting a coffee habit, which other people frequently quit at, specifically at your age.
I'm deciding to just shorten my life. I started eating a pound of bacon a day too. So,
so much bacon. How do you, generally speaking, how do you feel about change? Like when people talk about making life changes or career changes or house changes or change. What does that bring up for you? Is it something that you get excited about? Something you get weirded out or worried about?
I am very much someone who I love change. I love, I get very itchy in all situations. Like housing, like where I'm living, I've moved a lot. Like I've lived all over the country. I would have lived all over the world if it wasn't for COVID. I was like trying to get my wife to move out of the country. I don't know if that was serious either, but like I was just kind of like, this is the time, let's go do it. I mean, there's part of me, even though I don't know if people will necessarily be able to see me, but I am a pink see-through Irishman. But I want to go live on the beach. Like I want to go live in like the Caribbean and just open like a tiny little bar on the beach and just like do it.
Sounds wonderful.
Oh, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. Especially now.
Yeah. But, now in particular, as the rainy season sets in Oregon. Totally.
But yeah, so I have kind of like a 3-year itch point where like after about 3 years in the career or living in this given place or in a relationship, I oftentimes end up wanting to pivot because I just want to I do feel like this is, we get one go around and I want to do it all. And so, yeah, this is the longest I've lived somewhere, is that we've been in Portland for over 5 years now. And then my wife and I have been together for now 10 years ish. And wow. We just had our 8th anniversary. But
happy anniversary.
Thank you. 8 is great. So I love change. I'm terrified of stagnation.
Interesting. Yeah. So from people who really get excited about change or get itchy, so to speak, I hear that same thing. It's like a fear of stagnation, a fear of getting into a rut of some kind.
Yeah.
In 8 years of marriage, 10 years together.
Yeah.
How have you gotten past that 3-year itch that you get?
I don't really know. I mean, like we talk about it a fair amount because like my wife had relatively tumultuous relationships before ours. I had very like placid relationships. I had very, like, they were fun and they were passionate and they were great. And we really loved each other and all those things, but it just kind of had like a date where it was like, all right, I think we're done. And, but with my wife, that point just never came up. It was like, we still are super interested in each other. And, she's actually someone who we hung out in college and then we lost touch for 10 years. And then she was living on the East Coast. I was in Colorado and we got reconnected through Facebook and like did the long distance thing. So like, not only have we been together for 10 years, but she was like the one who got away from college. So I kind of feel like, I don't know. Whatever it is about her, she has this kind of magnetism and I feel like I learn something new about her all the time. And we also just have a good way of like, we live very separate lives, even though we're together. Like we each have things that we're interested in apart from one another. We travel separately sometimes but yeah, we're just homies. It works.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's super awesome. I wonder, you know, this is going to sound dumb, but
I love
or that. Not How many times have you rearranged the furniture in your 5 years?
Good question. In our house, I mean, all the time. I feel like it's in constantly in flux. Like literally right now we just got a new couch that we're putting in. And so you know how it is when you like change one thing in a room, you have to change everything. Mm-hmm. So we're just rearranging all the things. So yeah, I think I don't think there is an amount of times. I think it's a constant state.
I'm one of those people who loves to rearrange the furniture in the room. I just love it. And so my husband really has this like, well, we did it. This is how the room looks. Good job, us.
End scene. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll try and move something. He's like, why are you putting that over there? That's not where that goes. You know?
Totally. I get both sides of it completely. Yeah. Like, especially from the like walking around, going to the bathroom in the middle of the night idea. Like I kind of have a map of my house in my head. And so like, if I need to walk through and there's like suddenly a coffee table there, I'm probably going to get a brain injury.
All right, well, so cool. So you're pretty interested in change. You do things on purpose. How Definitely. Do you cope with changes that you are not the instigator of, or do you never have time for that because you're already in the middle of change, so you don't notice when things show up?
Right. I mean, I'm gonna like go back one sentence. You said you are a fan of change, you do things with purpose. That I don't think is necessarily true.
Oh.
I do things like I'm very whimsical in the way that I decide to change. And I think, and you know, I think that it's something in the past couple of years that I've definitely have noticed more frustration in, because like, I love starting to plow all the roads. Right. And I'm like, ooh, I want to go down that hiking trail for a little while. I want to try this. And especially in a world right now where I feel like everyone is going through change that's totally out of their control. And so it's interesting when you ask that question, because I think I have been the author of my own story for 38 years of my life, let's say. And then the last 2 years, both kind of in my personal life, my career, and then also obviously the world, there's been a lot of things thrown at me that I haven't chosen. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting. I've adopted a meditation practice. Like it's been a bit of a blow to my kind of like creative change part of my personality, because it's like, oh wait, when it happens and it's not under my control, and there's no like definitive end to it, it's disrupting, it's alarming for sure. Because I'm definitely used to, like, I've got my fun boat that's made out of unicorns and, you know, confetti and cotton candy that I'm piloting. And it's super fun and imaginative, but ultimately I'm the one driving it. And so when someone else takes the wheel, it's uncomfortable for sure.
Well, so I would love it, Mikey, would you tell us a story from your life, fork in the road moment, a moment where things changed for you, or where you changed things. Would you tell us a story, please?
Sure. So I sorted through a lot of different stories that I was going to tell. And I thought of kind of a lot of these, you know, stories, things that have happened in my adult life, but I don't know. I think that your formational moments happen when you're a kiddo, and definitely for me. So I grew up in a family, like my parents were extremely supportive. Anything that I wanted to pursue, anything I wanted to try out, they were totally into it. And that was great because I got to do all the things, and I was a creative kid. I was an artsy kid. And I had kind of, I think maybe like an entrepreneurial spirit, but I'm an ideas person. That's why I do what I do now, right? So the pivotal moment of my life, and this is a story that like, there's a shorthand for it in my family, and it's the Rad Cafe. So the Rad Cafe, my parents had a little house in Breckenridge, Colorado, a little ski house that we used to drive to when I was a kid. And I would always set up like a little bed in the back seat. So I'd have like my little quilt and my pillow, and I could tuck in. And my little sister was there too, but I think I'd probably smash her with my feet or something. And but my parents, we would always play these games, like what if games, like what if we arrive at the house in Breckenridge and there's people living there, like what would we do? And it was so fun. But one day my mom and I had this conversation for the entirety of the 2-hour ride, and it was all about creating this thing called the Rad Cafe. And the idea of this was, I was probably, I don't know, I want to say 7 or 8 at the time. And this was a hamburger joint with a skate park in the back of it, and like maybe a hotel, and there was like a concert venue. It was like everything that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 8-year-old kid wanted in the world was this. You could go get a milkshake and you could shred on your skateboard and hang out with your cool friends. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. And after like an hour and 52 minutes, I was like, all right, Mom, when are we starting this? We had it all designed out. We had like drawn on like a yellow legal pad, like the kind of branding and the way that it would look. And she was like, oh, Mikey, well, we're not gonna start the Rad Cafe. Like, this was just like a fun thing to talk about. And in that moment, I was destroyed. And I think that I like my brain broke a little bit in two ways. So one was, I'm never trusting my mom again. And no. I still don't. No, I'm just kidding. My mom and I are best friends and we talk like every day. No, but I think I went to this place where I was like, one, sometimes it's just, you can build things in your mind and that's the greatest thing ever. It's like, what a fun thing to do with people. What a fun thing to explore. And then the other thing was, making things like that happen, like starting the Rad Cafe, is actually very difficult. And I'm not super interested in that part of it. But having this kind of free floating thing in my head of like, ooh, we can dream all the dreams. We can think all the things. So basically almost everything that I did after that in my education and then my career have been like, what's the way that I can find towards playtime? Like, what are the things that I can do that are like, hey, let's jump in the sandbox, let's bring in all the toys we want, and there's no boundaries. Let's just think of all the craziest things. So it's one of the reasons that I love to play imagination games with my friends' kiddos. It's why my dream world is the most wild. I have the most wild dreams of anybody that I know, and I write them down, and they're like, my wife's like, I can't believe that happens inside of your head every night. It's super weird. And then why ultimately I do what I do now, which is like, I go to these big companies and I say, you should make this thing that's totally unrealistic, but wild, and people will love it. And they go, okay, we love that. We're going to do 60% of it. So the Rad Cafe was the biggest pivoting moment in my life. And coming to you in 2021, the Rad Cafe is opening in Portland. No, I'm just kidding. But we should do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're a grown up now. You could.
I know. I'm kind of thinking about it. I have like a saved search on like a commercial real estate website that shows me all the like cool little strip motels that are on the market. Cause I would like, that's what I want it to be, is like a, you know, motor lodge that then has all the skateboarding and stuff in the back.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that story. I can totally picture like 8-year-old Mikey being like, oh, and it's got a skate park in the back. Oh, like, that's awesome.
You go get your skateboard fixed and get a hamburger at the same time. Sweet. Yeah, it was awesome.
Then just crash there when you're tired.
Totally, man. All your friends can sleep over. It'd be so cool. I know. I wish the paper, my mom is one of those people that absolutely saves everything. So the original design of the plans has to be somewhere, but we haven't found it yet.
Oh boy. Oh, if you ever do, please send me a little JPEG. I would love to see.
Totally.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the word for photo just now. So
you said JPEG. I was going to call you out on that, but I was like, maybe that's just how she rolls. I was like, I don't know. I might send you a GIF.
Cool. It's a digital world. Everything changes.
Yeah. I might send it to you on a compact disc.
Yes, please put it on a thumb drive and then put it in the mail. Perfect. That's such a delightful image. I love that.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, like I grew up watching Pee-wee's Playhouse, right? So it's like, you know, I love the idea of, so my wife and I just bought a camper van that we're building out. And it's basically like, people are like, why, you know, what are the reasons for getting it? I'm like, you know, the main reason is it's an adult fort. Like I get to build my fort and drive it around and take it wherever I want. Like, it's the same reason that I love all-inclusive resorts. Like, people like shit on it and they're like, oh, that's so pedestrian or whatever. I'm like, no, wait, you get to go and everything's provided for you. Like, you get to just walk around like a baby. Like, you can walk around like drunk in a bathing suit and be like, I want sausages. And they've got sausages just like on a mantle. And it's so fun. I'm like, if you could just merge, I want it like, this is my, I'm putting it out there right now. Investors, come on. If I would love to build like an all-inclusive resort that's like Pee Wee's Playhouse meets, like, I want to have like adult ball pits. This is all not COVID friendly, but I want to have like adult ball pits, slides that come from each room. I want it to be like Chutes and Ladders meets Pee Wee's Playhouse meets the Rad Cafe and the Adobe Inn all in one. I just think it's like, there's not enough. Yeah. We're not having enough fun as a world.
Yeah, man, the world needs more fun for sure.
Yeah.
Big time. I love this dream. I also can't help but notice that there's a real like childlike wonder in this dream. Like, it's a lot about being a child as a grown up. Like,
yeah.
This childlike glee and that, like, just having your needs met is such a like exciting idea.
Right.
That children, it's a luxury. Children, not all children, like, I want to acknowledge that, like, there are children in the world who are not having their needs met.
Oh gosh, of course.
But I do associate that sense, because that's how we treat our kiddo, and how I was treated as a kiddo. Like, that's my sense of childhood. It's like, I'm hungry, can I have a snack? Yes. Here's
yes, you can.
What? Here's your snack. What were you dreaming of? I wanted an apple. You know, because as a kid, I had simple cravings. Like,
I was like, you were craving apples as a kid? What kind of narc were you?
Yeah. Apples.
But there is like, there is definitely like a through line in my life that is, for better or for worse, like, I always want to find the whimsy. I always want to find, you know, what is the way that you can get to kind of the most, like, I don't know, happy, fun, imaginative version of things. And I will say, when I see people that like have a job that I, that is like kind of soul crushing or, you know, just, or difficult, and they got to do a lot of adult things, I was just like, kind of feel for them. Cause I'm like, man, I knew you when you were six and like,
yeah,
you were super fun, you know? And I just, I think we can all find our way back there. And I think it could be a really good, even if you do it like 5%, it'd be a really good healing thing for our world, I think.
Yeah, I would love to see the world be 5% more joyful. I mean, I would love to see the world be 100% more joyful, but you know, 5% might be more realistic right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and I have some friends that are in the, that are actors and that are in the performance space that are doing some really fun projects right now. Like interrupting Zoom calls for businesses and doing like play with adults, like helping them like
great.
Take their 15-minute break and make it like kind of a, you know, a functional playtime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, and it's working. Like, people, even like straight laced people are like, I don't know, I need this right now. It's like, I'm not able to do this in my life. So
yeah. Know. Yeah. I've been doing a few of those actually.
Like what?
We call them 15-minute joy sessions.
Cool.
Yeah. And so we'll show up as typically a kickoff for a meeting. It's a great way to do a 15-minute joy session, but it's like the sole purpose is to just have people connect as human beings and just be human for a second.
Awesome.
You know, a lot of what's missing for people, as we're in these distanced places, is like that feeling of human connection. It's one of the luxuries that I have as the host of this show, is I get to connect with all kinds of people. And, you know, my trick is like, I'll hide my self view, when I'm having one-on-one conversations. And then it just feels like a lot more like I'm having a one-on-one hang with somebody.
Yeah.
Because I do think that like just looking at myself and then talking to somebody else is a very like surreal experience. So,
sure,
you know, that's not how it normally works. Like if we were out to lunch or going for a walk or whatever, I would only see you. I don't normally, as my friend's 5-year-old
with you.
Yeah, as my friend's 5-year-old once had a total meltdown about, I can't see my own eyebrows normally. So, yeah, he was like, just like just crying and looking up, just crying. And she was like, "What's going on?" He goes, like, oh, it's not fair. You can see my eyebrows. I can see your eyebrows. She goes, are you crying because you can't see your own eyebrows? He was like, and that's how it's supposed to be by design.
That's most fantastic. That's my favorite thing I've heard in a long time. I love the idea of that freak out. I mean, it's why I do carry an 18th century hand mirror around with me everywhere.
So that even when I'm with other people,
I can just look at my eyebrows. My eyebrows are very faint. You should tell your friend's kid that I don't really have eyebrows, so I can't see them even when I look in the mirror. So it's a bummer, kid. Life's hard.
Well, you know, Zoom's pretty forgiving. We just saw your eyebrows. You do, in fact, have eyebrows. So
yeah, I know that's true. Yeah, they're just blonde, very blonde.
I thought it really showed what a sensitive, observant person this kid is going to be.
Yeah,
because
sure.
He's already having that sort of deep reflection on what is self.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a question for the ages, kid.
Right? Yeah, like he's imprisoned in his own, behind his own eyes and what his eyes are able to show him in this world. Mm. And his own view of his eyebrows is missing.
Yeah. It's very interesting, the thing that you brought up about on Zoom calls where you will take away the self view.
Yeah.
Because, and I've been on a couple Zoom calls lately where I've like asked, you know, people that I know or whatever, I've asked them, where are you on your screen? Because I like to see how much people are looking at themselves. And yeah. There's something really toxic about like staring, because I mean, even the even the least vain person is like, oh man, I look a little like whatever, or like, oh, my backdrop's not perfect. And taking like the Zoom interaction, which is already like the lowest form of human communication, I'm glad we have it because it's like bringing our world
grateful closer. Yes.
Yeah. But it is like, it's not the way that we need to be interacting, and not the way I like to interact, obviously.
Yeah.
But taking it and then also having it be like a moment for you to judge yourself is just, let's not do that, folks. Turn off the self view.
I've had several clients complain to me that having to move to online meetings has really turned the volume up on their inner anxieties because they're seeing themselves, and it's like, it's making them feel super uncomfortable. And when I suggest that they just hide self view, I'm like, just do this one thing. It will change your experience. The instant reaction is typically, oh, I don't want to do that because what if I'm doing something and I can't see that I'm doing it? And I'm like, oh, but that's like your normal conversations.
Right.
You know, normally when you're having conversations, you could be doing something. That's like that whole thing where you have something stuck in your teeth and you rely on somebody else to tell you. Like,
sure.
That's how we normally interact with the world around us. So, you know, either be really excited that you get to see what you look like all the time, or hide it, because it's okay for you to not see it. And the people who have been having those anxiety feelings around being on Zoom calls, it's this weird adjustment that has to be made, like in that first 30 seconds when you hide the self view.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Like, it's like your training wheels are out from under you, but then within a very short time, you're like, oh, this feels more familiar than I thought. And that's that. I really feel like it's these tiny changes, these like remembering that we're in conversation with another human. We're not in conversation with ourselves.
I love that.
Is really helpful for remembering, like, oh, human interaction. This is what it's all about. Collaborating should have outcomes. That's why we're doing it. If we're, you know, it's like, we're not doing it because it's the cool thing to do. We're supposed to get better results. So, you know, what do we need to do to be in service of that?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because I am feeling, I just turned my self view off, and it's upsetting. It's like in the sense of like, I feel like untethered a little bit, but like, I'm kind of coming to, I'm like, oh yeah, right. Of course this is better, because I'm not like constantly, there's that low level of self-judgment that's just happening at all moments. And you're like, you're good. if we were sitting in a bar or a coffee shop across from each other right now, you wouldn't be able to know that there's a fly on your head, Mike Pence.
Oh, Lord.
That your face is shiny. Not that we need to get political on this podcast. Sorry.
I feel like, you know, what would have happened if Mike Pence had a realization that he couldn't see his own eyebrows? Like, how would his life be different?
Oh, man.
We all could use a little bit of eyebrow reflection.
Most definitely.
Experience. Anyway, we don't need to talk about eyebrows anymore.
Love the brow that you're in.
So I'm curious, if you had never had that conversation with your mom about the Rad Cafe.
Yeah.
Do you think that you would have developed an interest in food anyway?
I mean, yes. I think I would have developed, whether it had been food or not, I think it's like I've always been someone who wants to play an imagination world. I've always been my childhood. I'm sitting here in front of my wife, and I have pictures of us as children singing that we made for our wedding. And like, I'm singing like an opera person, like hand on my diaphragm and singing. And like, I was the kid who was like performative and wanted to dive into imagination world at all moments. So whether it was the Rad Cafe conversation or it was something else, I probably would have always ended up in something creative and wanting to like explore with people. I don't know. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I keep going back to that story in that moment because I do feel like it was like pivotal in so many of my kind of decisions that I made afterwards, especially when it came to like ideation and coming up and talking about the way that things could be or whatever. And like knowing that on some level, they don't need to always happen. Like, they could just be something that you put out into the ether and that makes the world better just by thinking it.
Well, I love the idea that just by allowing yourself to dream bigger than where you are right now, you might make the world a little bit better just for having poured some good ideas into it or some bad ideas, you know, like make some room in the world for some bad ideas to, if they're not all coming to fruition anyway, let's get some crazy ideas, some fun ideas, some silly ideas, some terrific ideas, and some horrible ideas. Pour them all out there.
This is one of the reasons, not to sidetrack, but why Halloween is is my favorite holiday by far, because I love seeing the ugly, fantastic, weird, creepy, bloody, it's funny things that people do to their houses. I think it's, and especially in Portland, like people really go all out. And I just love the idea of expressing your kind of inner weird on your outside, and especially the outside of your house. I think it's so fun.
Well, as we bring this delightful conversation to a close, is there anything you want to leave people knowing or thinking
like
about?
Like an aphorism?
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from this conversation?
I mean, I hope that... at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I would hope that I can kind of like hope that the message that I've like portrayed to people is just like, it's just not that serious. Like, just have fun with it, you know? Like, and even if things are the worst and like, you know, all of, you know, there can be, your life can kind of be in shambles and like the world can be in shambles and everything can be on fire. And I think there's we can all tend towards cynicism, but I think there's always happiness in connection. There's always happiness in digging into your dreams and just kind of like laughing at the world. So just like, I don't know, take it easy on yourself.
Mikey, is there anything you want people to know about in terms of projects that you're working on? Obviously, we'll have a link to your podcast in the show notes. Is there anything else you want me to throw in those links?
Yeah, so MikeyNrinStayIn.com is the link to our podcast. It's available where all podcasts are available. And we talk a lot about fertility and kind of our story, but we also interview really cool people that are in that world. And it's basically just like also a time for my wife and I to tell dick and fart jokes to each other. So it's very fun. And then...
You know, the cornerstone of any successful marriage, I am convinced, are fart jokes.
I swear, like, you asked me why my wife and I are still good after all this time, it's because we laugh at the dumbest stuff in the world and it's wonderful. So in that same kind of fertility world, I've also started doing men's fertility coaching, which is something that kind of doesn't exist in the world, or it didn't exist in my world when we were going through fertility stuff. So it's mensfertilitycoach.com, And I work with men to kind of have their back and help them make big decisions, and especially to help them preserve their relationship, because during fertility, there's a lot of relationships that don't do well. And that makes me really sad. So I want to help people out. I'm also, and then MikeSheether.com is my food consulting and kind of all the other things I do websites. You can check me out there.
Very cool. Thank you so much for your time, for your stories, for the laughter. I had so much fun having this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I loved it. We should do it every week. And sounds just, great. You don't have to put it out, but let's just do it every week.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you.
What's your rad cafe? What's your silly, interesting, weird, funny idea that would make the world just a tad more awesome? More importantly, how can you make our shared reality just 5% better? You don't have to take things from 0 to 100. Just 5% would make a huge difference. So maybe if you can't open your version of the rad cafe, you can take what that idea represents and bring that to life in new and interesting ways to make our world a better place. If you're interested in checking out Mikey's podcast, I'll have links to Mikey and Rin Stay In and more in the show notes for this episode, available at thechangedpodcast.com. Remember to click subscribe and please leave us a detailed review. If you enjoyed the conversation, share it with a friend. Thank you for listening to The Change Podcast. I'm Aidan Nipom, and I wish you the kind of experiences in life you're excited to tell stories about.